Well, good morning. It's nice to meet you and greet you. It's a nice way to enter a congregation with a sense of peace, and we also share the peace at our congregation. So it's nice when there's a common tradition that we hold together, and especially as Presbyterians. But I think even as the larger church, many churches that wish peace to each other. Our New Testament scripture this morning is actually 1 Peter 2. It says 1 or 4 in your order of worship, but it's actually 1 Peter 2, 4 through 10, and it's found on page 219. So let me read this for us, and then we'll see where it takes us. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who deny, who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what we were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Let's pray. God, as we dwell on these two scriptures this morning, I pray that you would be present with us, that you would guide us, that your Spirit would be among us, and actually that this time would be sacred, and that we would encounter you. So we offer you our open hearts to hear your word this morning. In Christ's name, amen. Well, it is nice to be with you. My name is J.D. Ward, and I work, you can read in your bulletin, but I work at Lakeside Presbyterian Church, and I also run a consulting agency called Rewire, helping churches to become more missional. I've been involved in mobilization of lay people for most of my ministry career, and so it's something that I'm very passionate about. But I am in a group with Maggie looking at this issue of how our congregations become more engaged in the issues of the world. And so that has been really fun to get to know her. It's been really one of my first chances to get to know her. And I'm just thinking, you guys must have a kick with her. She is one fun lady, I tell you. It's really, when we're looking for a little bit of pep in our meeting, it's usually Maggie who offers it, and I'm thinking you guys must have a lot of fun either in the pulpit or just in your common life together. So, and it's hard for me actually to work with a community that I'm not familiar with. Familiarity and being in a community is something that's really important to me. So I come to you not knowing your journey. And I think that's very difficult to do because as someone who's in a role to facilitate a journey, you kind of need to know where it's come from, right, in order to know kind of Where are we going together? So that's not what I'm going to do. I'm just going to talk about this text for me and what it's meant for me and what I'm wrestling with. And if that's what you're wrestling with, then we'll have some common things that we can share. Okay? Does that sound all right? Here's one of the things I'm wrestling with these days. I looked this up online recently. I knew this was true, but I didn't know the specific statistics. And one of the things that I'm wrestling with is this issue of the decline of the church. We're all kind of familiar that the mainline church and even the church in general in the West is on a decline. And so in 7 years, from 2001 to 2008, which is where I saw my statistic, the average decline for the four major denominations was about 15%. So that's about 2%, a little over 2% a year, right? And you think, oh, it's 2% a year, but when you start adding that up, that's a significant amount of people. And what is, for me, kind of troublesome about that is that it seems to me that as I've thought about the human character and read about the human nature, there's three basic qualities that human beings need in order to feel like there's some sense of coherence to their life. And one is a connection with a divine being. It's a pretty important stuff. Pascal said we have a vacuum, a God-shaped vacuum within us. You know, so connecting in with that thing, that higher power, that divine being, whatever you want to call it, is a pretty important human trait, which we typically call spirituality. Seems like the church that's part of what we're supposed to do. The second thing that is true for human beings is we need a place to belong. We need to find some identity with some other people that we call ours. We need to belong. And the third is we need to have a sense of purpose and meaning and significance beyond ourselves. In fact, some people have said, some psychologists have said, this is actually one of the most important psychological traits to our survival is the ability to have a place that we feel that we can have significance and impact and meaning. So I'm wondering, the church seems to have those three things as the core of our being. The passages that we looked at today have those as the center of what they seem to be saying. But it seems to me that somehow, while spirituality is actually up, do you know that? Spirituality is actually up statistically. People are pretty cool with God. They think it's a good thing. They even think Jesus is pretty all right. The church is down. And I'm wondering if somehow people aren't finding that place to belong and they're feeling excluded as they enter into our structures. Our delivery system called the church maybe needs a little bit of thought about that because somehow people aren't finding it helpful. And also that the ways in which maybe we talk about God or we offer that connection to divine are not culturally congruent to what people are seeking. And I also wonder if the sense that people have is that the church really doesn't actually engage in socially significant issues. It's mostly concerned with managing its members. And if that's the impression that the world has or people have, it would kind of begin to make sense that there's this decline. I want to tell a story. A friend of mine who's a pastor told me about a person who goes to four different churches. So in one church, he goes to a Bible study. And in another church, he leads worship. In another church, he actually goes to the Sunday service. And the fourth church, he volunteers. Now, normally the interesting thing about his comment was normally we would be criticizing that person. But one of the things that was intriguing to me is he said, you know, it's interesting because in the first church, it was the church at Antioch. It was just one church. And maybe something's emerging where it is one church. We might find this here or that here or this here, but it's the church of that city that is caring for that person. And I went away with a new perspective and thought, wow, that's true. We could start thinking that way, that there's this one church. But the problem with the story, as I reflected on it a little further, is that that person who's going to four churches is missing out on something very significant. He's missing out on a sense of belonging, a sense that there's a community, that there's a people that God calls us to be a part of. And Jesus and Paul find this so important that it's a part of our scriptures this morning, because it answers actually a very significant need that we as people have, to belong to an identified group of people. Now, I have to admit, I get some of my sermons, not that I teach, but that I get ministered to off the internet. Maybe some of you too do. I like to visit different places. All of that is good, but where is your people? Where are the people that you belong to? The text that we're given today look at four pretty powerful images. One is the vine and the branches and the fruit. Isn't that a great image? I mean, we could sit in that image for a long time. The vine, being Christ, being God, is the core. From that come these branches, which seem to be just a vessel for fruit, the way they're talked about. Just a vessel for fruit. And I like to imagine that, because when I think of what fruit does, it does two things. One, it's a vessel for reproduction, right? It has the seeds, it drops to the ground, new fruit sprouts up. Kind of chaotically, but it sprouts up. There's some sense that the fruit that God is asking us to be about has to do with reproducing itself. But the second, and I like that it uses a vine and not a tree, so I think of grapes. How about you? That there's this joy, this sweet joy gift that comes from fruit. Specifically wine, if I think about it more specifically. Right? But that gives life. That's something that we get to enjoy. That's something for the world. That's something that makes this world better. It's a great image. And it all comes from the vine. It's kind of strong language when you read the text, though. Did you see some of that? Did you see the strong language there? If you cut it from the vine, it ceases to produce the fruit. You know, that's kind of strong language. If our places of family, of belonging, of people have been cut from the very source of life of the vine, which is God, we begin to lose the ability to bear fruit that will last. So there's a lot in that image, a lot to sit with. He gives another image, is a nation. You know, you're a holy nation. So what does a nation have? One of the things that a nation has is a vision, right? It has a vision. Like, we are created to be, all men are created to be equal. All people are created to be equal, right? That's one of the visions of our country. So a nation typically has a vision. It also has undergirding values. What's one of our undergirding values we have in our country? Freedom, right? Go after freedom, and you're going to raise up a whole lot of issues, right? You're going to get a lot of organizations that come after you. Independence, pretty big. self-reliance, pretty big values. There's values that are tied to a country. There's policies and rules and ways in which we actually follow and obey those policies and rules. I think recently I was in Ethiopia, and maybe some of you have been to less developed countries. And I'll just have to say that the rules that govern the road in Ethiopia are more like suggestions than they are rules. You know, you come to America and it's a different deal. When there's a stop sign, you fully stop, right? If there's a lane, you stay in your lane unless you have a lane change. Those aren't necessarily true in Ethiopia. Different nations interpret policies, rules differently. And then there's the priesthood. The priesthood of all believers, we say. What does that mean? What does it mean? This is really like, just sit with us for a minute. What Paul is saying is that you are a priest. Not me. You. And you. And you. Are a priest. That's pretty significant. I mean, we have this vision that we are a nation of priests, every single one of us. So what are some of those functions? Well, we serve people, right? We're dedicated to serve people. The priest in Israel was dedicated to serving people. That there's something about their life that's given fully over to God. This is a big one in our culture, right? Because we try to hold a bunch of different things. We try to hold God and our jobs and our obligations and our responsibilities and our fun and our joy and God. But a priest does something different. All their life is wrapped up in some way around God. Now, there's functions and duties they do. And then there's that one of the roles is that they're a mediator. Now, here's the interesting thing. I'm not the mediator to God. Maggie's not the mediator to God. You are. You are the mediator to God. That is a tremendous reversal. Do you get that? Somehow, culturally, I think we've lost some of that. It's, you know, if in my congregation, if someone wants to, like, has a spiritual conversation with someone and says, this person's getting excited about God, they call me and say, could you come talk to him? I'm like, no. You talk to them, right? You're the priest. I'm just helping you be that priest. It's an interesting image. You know the thing that's not listed as the duty of a priest? They're not an expert in the law. That was the scribes and the Pharisees. That's very fascinating. Somehow, it's come about that we are like the experts in the law. So judgment has become our sort of image to the world. Not mediation, not service, not dedication, but judgment. The last image that is that he says you're a people. I think that's a really, really important idea, that you're a people. A people is a group that you are closely identified with. You know, you say, it's my people. This is my people. Do you have that group of people? They say, this is my people. Couple things that happen that creates that sense of bonding. One is, often that sense is birthed out of some sort of conflict that we go through together. You know, that sense of people. So the example I always use is, when you get on an airplane, you have a common experience, right? You fly across the country, okay? And that's some sense of community. You're on a common journey. Now, if that airplane crashes and you all live, that's a different sense of experience, right? And then if you actually crash like in the, you know, like in the Himalayas or whatever, and we're caught there for 3 weeks, that creates a whole nother level of community, right? So community, the sense of being my people, is often birthed out of crisis and chaos that we bond together to build community. And it's an emotional conflict. So I know, like within my church, you can feel this as people. In the church that I serve, I can tell when this happens, because what happens with my community is I walk inside the congregation and I have a special look at that person that says, we have this bond. I mean, we're all great together. We all are together in common, but this bond is connected to me in a different way. This is my people. And for me, that's been my mission groups, where we actually have a lot of strife and struggle and wrestling, and we're in this journey together. So there's a couple things that I think, as we think about that, those things that we've brought together, there are really three pieces that I would say make common, again, the ones that we've referred to, that these scriptures give us. One, that there's a work that God calls us to do. We bear fruit. There's a sweet joy gift that we're given. There's something that goes on that we're supposed to be about. Jesus talks about this as a new nation, that we're given a new vision. Do you know, like, what Jesus talks about that? Luke 4 is this great image where you heal and you deliver and you cast out and you free oppression and you fight. There's a work that God calls us to do. And there's a connection that God calls for us to live in. Not just something that's like head knowledge, but something that's a living connection, something that feeds our soul. What is that for you? Because the church has spent pretty good at spending a lot of time on head knowledge, but not necessarily on feeding the soul. What helps you connect at the soul level to God? Is it prayer? Quieting? Is it prayer? Is it memorizing some passages that are sacred? Is it beauty and creation? Is it taking a walk on the beach? What begins to feed your soul in your connection with God? So work, connection, and this bond. This bond that Jesus gives us to be one people, to be a new people that he calls us to be. And this people, I'll just define it this way. Going from darkness to light. That's a great image, because it's both work as well as being. So God is calling us to come forth. It's actually, I would say, countercultural. It's a new mind, a new mindset. Instead of revenge, we learn about forgiveness. Instead of retaliating, we learn about peacemaking. Instead of accumulating, we learn about conspicuous sharing. There's a people of the way that God calls us to. It's a people of a way that gives tremendous benefits of belonging and being part of a family. We're struggling today. We really are. As a church, we're struggling. Maybe we desire to be a friendly church, but the truth is, we're a church of friends. Maybe we desire to be something new and unique, but often we're just exactly the same. We're so relevant to the world that we become the same. Or maybe the best place we offer that says, come and contribute and be a part of us, doesn't really have to do with the issues of the world, but maintaining our machinery. Maybe when we say we want people to really connect with God, we focus on doctrines and head and not the deepest heart. But here is the deal. People are going to find those needs met. They're going to find them. And the question is whether they're going to find them with us. And I believe they can. I really believe they can. I really believe that in this world, we have what the world is looking for. Belonging and connection and purpose. Do you believe that? That's really the question I want to leave you today. Do you believe that this congregation, this family, this people has that? Because I'll tell you why that's important. Because if you believe that, then a vision starts. And when a vision starts, there's desire, right? Because you want that vision to come true. And what desire is so important in is that it increases our effort and work to make that vision come true. So I'm going to ask you if you believe. And I'm going to tell you, I believe. And I believe in you. And I don't know you. But I know the seeds of the fruit are here. And I celebrate that with you this morning. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much that you talk in images. You give us symbols that are so deep, not about theological truths, but about stories that speak to us. And so we look this morning for that hope and that belief and that desire that it might be something that actually moves us to a deeper level of belonging and commitment. For we are your people. In Christ's name, amen.